Welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, President and CEO of SCRC, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Marta Rañón, Executive Vice President.
Hey, Roberto.
Today, we have a very special guest, Dr. Donna Benton. She's the director of the USC Family Caregiver Support Center and the director of the Los Angeles Caregiver Resource Center, and one of my colleagues and good friends. Donna is also an associate research professor of gerontology at USC and was appointed by the governor to the Stakeholder Advisory Committee for the State Master Plan on Aging. Welcome, Donna.
Nice to have you, Roberto. Nice to have you. Hey here, Martha. Nice to have you. I'm here.
Thank you for joining us. You know, Donna, we're thrilled, Martha and I are thrilled to have you join us as we want to talk about the rapidly increasing number of family caregivers and the need to support them. You know, nationwide, there's 53 million family caregivers. There's 5.5 million family caregivers in our state. In San Diego County, there's over 420,000 family caregivers. And Martha, I hear you talk about caregiving to audiences all year long. You know, what are you seeing out there?
You know, I always talk about the term caregiving, as you know, that is our focus of the work that we do. But there is something that I utilize a lot to kind of put it into perspective. Rosalind Carter has a quote, and I'll paraphrase, about the fact that at some point, we're all going to come across the term caregiver, right? We either have been caregivers, we are caregivers, we might be caregivers, and guess what? We might need caregivers. So the fact that we have here Dr. Donna Benton to talk about the Master Plan on Aging is so important because our caregivers want to know how that's going to impact them, the people that they are caring for. And honestly, I also want to know, I'm curious, how is my community going to support my needs when I age? So thank you so much for being here.
It's interesting that you quote Mrs. Carter in your piece right now, Martha, because there was actually a publication that just came out from the Rosalind Carter Institute for Caregiving. The title of the publication was Recalibrating for Caregivers, Recognizing the Public Health Challenge. And there's a quote in there that I particularly like, and it says, like tobacco use, obesity, and cancer, caregiver health and well-being is an issue of great public health relevance. And with the lives of so many at risk, the health and well-being of caregivers must be considered a public health concern of equal measure. This is so important. What an amazing quote, because Donna, we all know that, you know, being a caregiver, you're going to suffer health problems, physical problems. You're going to even have financial hardships from being a caregiver. And so it's really nice to know that in our state, there is a movement, an initiative, the Master Plan on Aging, that is being spearheaded by our governor. And I'm glad that you're joining us because you're part of that Master Plan on Aging. Can you tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Master Plan on Aging, Donna?
Oh, so thank you so much for you know, involving me in this. And I think what is really important for all of us when we think about what is this Master Plan on Aging, you know, it sounds grand. It's meant to be for 10 years to guide policy and programming throughout the state of California. But for us as individuals, what it is, it's an outline of what we can do on an individual level within cities, within our state, within our counties and our communities. If you look at the master plan, there are over 700 recommendations. Now, that's a lot of recommendations because the recommendations came out of stakeholders. But each of those recommendations can be done by an individual or a city or state or your club, but it can also be done by your elected officials. So I think what's important for us as caregivers is the piece that I really was involved in, which was the long-term care services for the master plan, which was the first report that came out, was around services and supports, particularly those that might be helping people live in the community the way we want to age and have the help that we need for ourselves and our families so that we can age in the community, in our homes, the way we want to. How do we provide care that is safe, affordable, and loving within the home? And what do we need for supports? Because, you know, we need emotional support. We need legal assistance. We need financial help. We need education. We need breaks. And so the long-term care support piece has a lot of recommendations around having programs and services that can provide all of those aspects. But the one thing that I think is really interesting that will probably get moved forward in the next couple of years is looking at, is there a way to have an affordable long-term care option for all working caregivers so that there's some way of reimbursing our out-of-pocket costs? Because, you know, in general, family members, it's somewhere between $7,000 and $9,000 a year out-of-pocket costs. Could be higher. And we all know that we don't always realize that long-term care is not covered under anything but Medicaid, but many of us don't necessarily want to have to spin down into poverty in order to be able to have somebody come in and give us a break or to get some alternate care when we need it or when we have, you know, long-term illnesses like a dementia. So the more that we can look at what's going to happen with this potential public option of long-term care, because we know right now long-term care insurance is not affordable. But if we can begin to build an affordable long-term care system, this is what we need to be talking about with our legislators and pay very close attention to how that's going to be built. They've already started some of the stakeholder meetings will begin. There's been a study that was released about 2 days ago that's called the Middleman Study, and that gives an outline of potential funding ways of funding a public option in California for long-term care. And they had a call just hours before we got on our call today. And they were really talking about, you know, how could we do this for a payroll tax and how many hours do people need? So this is where we need to be involved as family caregivers in that discussion.
Donna, I'm so glad that you brought that up because I keep thinking about the time when I was a caregiver. And the audience has heard me talk about caring for my great aunt. But I remember at first when we didn't know what the caregiving situation was going to look like, we were looking at the possibility of finding housing for her. You know, we're living longer, right? She was 93. She didn't expect that. That wasn't the life expectancy when she was right. You know, growing up. And so all of a sudden, she's outgrown all of the models, right, that showed that now she has to sustain herself and live for her needs. She didn't have that safety net. So when I became a caregiver, I started thinking, there's no way, this is so expensive. And that's why a lot of the caregivers that I talk to end up caring for their loved ones at their home because it's so expensive to find any other option, which goes along with what you were saying earlier. And I'm so glad that you're here to really enlighten us on what the state plans are. Becoming involved in those local stakeholder meetings. It's so important for all caregivers to do that. I've attended some of our meetings. Some of them are within a city, others are countywide. And I know that I'm not necessarily in need of these services, but I keep thinking ahead. And I keep thinking, do I want to be walking in a sidewalk that's uneven, that doesn't have any lighting, that doesn't have a bench where I can sit if I have mobility issues? I want our caregivers to really think about, what does your city look like? What does your neighborhood look like as you age, as the person you're caring for ages? And now is the time to get involved so that we can plan towards that.
Part of the master plan does cover livable communities and being able to have a purpose. It covers health and well-being, and it's also looking at economic security, which is really a big piece around what you mentioned, Martha, which is affordable housing. I think that's one of our very basic things, and it's one of the key priorities in the current master plan. And because part of that affordable housing could make it a lot easier for us to maintain our relative in the community when we need to, or changing laws so that, you know, it's easier to have those accessory dwelling units and making sure in your community that it's something that's legal.
The one thing I wanted to mention, and this is so important because I've been, like Martha, I've been to many different committees where I'm on some advisory groups here locally through our Health and Human Services Agency for the County of San Diego, where we've, you know, tried to map out, we've worked on mapping out a dementia-friendly communities and age-friendly communities. The interesting piece is that when we start talking about age-friendly, dementia-friendly, the caregiver is often omitted or not discussed. It's a secondary kind of discussion. It's not originally planned as part of we must take care of caregivers. Now that's becoming a little bit more common now to include caregivers. But in the beginning, we got to kind of keep pushing back. Well, wait a minute. You need to take care of the person who's taking care of the elderly, who's taking care of the person with cognitive impairment, who's taking care of the person with Alzheimer's disease. Or else your plan, no matter how comprehensive and wonderful it is, it's gonna fall apart.
I remember when I was a caregiver, literally walking down the street with my great aunt on a walker, thinking to myself, this is not a friendly street. Like I said, the concrete was uneven, there were obstacles, there were trees in the middle of the sidewalk, the lighting was bad. And even I remember going into grocery stores, having to maneuver opening the door physically, you know, not with a button, and trying to push her wheelchair in front of me as I'm trying to hold the door. I mean, these are little things that are huge for a caregiver. And it kind of goes to what right now what you were saying, Roberto, that it's important to include the caregiver in these discussions.
Most caregivers, the majority, are actually working. So part of the planning has to include how are our employers going to help us be a little more flexible. I mean, COVID has really shown the ability to be a little flexible with people being able to work at home. But for caregivers, for many of them, it's actually increased their isolation. Because now you don't have an alternative to take your relative out, say if you wanted to, you know, you're trying to protect them, so you're not going out to parks, or you wanted to take them out for some recreational activities, you can't do that. You have to work from home and then try to keep maybe somebody, a younger child, and your older adult relative at the same time. And, you know, you're working from home and there's still no respite there for you. So as caregivers, we need to be able to advocate for policies around paid family leave, flexible work hours, being able to have more respite for us. I mean, there's just a host of things that as we work, I remember at the beginning of COVID, I kept advocating that caregivers needed access into the grocery stores early because the person at home was very high risk. The caregiver, they're like, well, you're only 50 years old. Why do you need to go to the grocery store early? Because I'm protecting somebody at home right now. But right. They wouldn't be seen as somebody who needs that early access because there's no way to always identify a family caregiver because we're the daughters and sons and grandchildren and we're relatives. And so people don't necessarily know that we're not... wearing a nurse's uniform. We're not working in a home health agency or working in a nursing home or in the hospital directly, but we are the home health at home.
You know, the working caregiver, I know that even just statistically, about close to 60%, maybe even higher, of caregivers are actually employed. And before, when they, like you said, when they were employed and they were going to work, you know, they might have daycare, they might have some in-home care, they might have other things that can help, and their kids are at school, and then they might have after-school programs. All of that just bundled together into one household now. It has really increased the levels of stress and caregiver burden in the home.
What I wanted to ask Donna is if you have a good sense of this master plan, I know it's going to take a while and it's probably going to take some years to collect data, implement different phases. But what is it that you are seeing? Are you hopeful that some of these things that we're talking about, you know, including caregivers, the employee flexibility, would be included, discussed? And then what is the time frame? I mean, are we talking about 5, 10, 20, you know, how many years before we start seeing some changes? I know that you're working closely with the state.
Yeah. So the good thing about the master plan is it's a blueprint, which means it's meant to look at what we could do over a 10-year period, but some things can start as soon as the next legislative cycle. So it could actually start January. Some things could start locally. As soon as you read a recommendation, you say, hey, that's one that we could do right now, you know, around, say, something around paid family leave. Or, yes, we could probably look at the laws around accessory dwelling units in our city and try to make it easier. And that could be done right now. Some things will take longer, like the long-term care insurance. Say that we move towards that direction, it'll probably be 5 years out because you'd have to build up a certain amount of money in the pot before you could start paying out long-term care insurance. But that would start, so that could start in the next 2 years, and then 5 years from now, we could actually have a long-term care insurance pot of money for people who have cognitive impairments, who have physical disabilities, where you could get us maybe $100 a day toward care to help bring somebody in, or, you know, supplemental services of some sort. So actually the plan can start today. It goes on for 10 years. It's flexible. And, you know, one of the big hopes I see in the plan is that it's one of the foundational priorities is equity. And that, I think, speaks a lot to our caregivers, because equity is not the same as equality. Equity means that we're really going to be able to have meet diversity and social justice issues and health disparities, and recognizing that the individuality and that combination is important to as we design programs. So for family caregivers, we really need that idea of equity, and not just distributing things equally, because the caregivers' needs, we know, vary from family to family. So that's a critical part of the master plan. And the other core priority, you know, is long-term care, and looking at the financial crisis that we have for families and being able to help people financially.
One of the things that I wanted to mention is, you know, some things we can do now. And I think one of the really important things that we want to share on a regular basis when we have our podcast is to let people know that there are resources right now, services right now on a statewide level through the Caregiver Resource Centers. In any part of the state, in every corner, in every county, you have a Caregiver Resource Center that covers that territory. So I wanted to bring that up and mention that people need to reach out for help, because it's important for them to get that access to that help all throughout the state of California.
Yes. And I just wanted to clarify, it is California that we are talking about, the only state in the country that currently has the statewide caregiver system. And the website, if anyone is interested, as the listeners want to access that resource or those resources, is caregivercalifornia.org.
That's correct. Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. I want to thank Martha for co-hosting another important and very stimulating discussion about caregiving. And I want to thank our special guest, Dr. Donna Benton. I want to remind our audience that if you're providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. All of our programs and services are currently available through virtual platforms. Also, if you reside outside of San Diego and Imperial counties, please visit caregivercalifornia.org. You can follow us on Facebook for more podcasts as well. And I want to remind everyone that November is National Family Caregiver Month, and that the 11 caregiver resource centers that I just mentioned are hosting an online event entitled Navigating Your Caregiver Journey, Tips, Resources, and Self-Care on Thursday, November 19th from 4 to 6 p.m. Martha is going to be hosting that event, and Donna will be one of the speakers talking about caregiving issues, along with a number of other presenters. So please go on to the caregivercalifornia.org website so that you can register. And remember, SCRC is here for you,
caring for those who care for others.
Thank you.